And as we go through this morning's sermon, I want you to see if you can make any correlations, but I made some very quickly. And I look at the songs that Cody has, and it says, "A mighty fortress is our God. Even so come, break every chain, chain breaker, and I will not be shaken." Do you think there's any theme there? And now I want you to listen to, as we dive into God's word, and hear if there's any theme that goes perfectly with it. Because to me, it just, God spoke and I went, uh-oh, God, you're wanting to do something. We better be open and we better be listening today. Because the last several weeks, as we've talked about discovering the will of God, we've been talking about items of discovering God's will that deals with our obedience, right? If I'm in God's will, then I will do these things, right? Because as a believer, I need to follow Christ in these areas. But I really felt like God tell me this week, instead of saying, let me look at an act of obedience, I want you to look at a place where I say my will is something that I just want to give you because I'm good. And so we're going to look at a passage this morning where God is good and his will is given to us and we get a promise from him. And so we're going to look this morning in Romans 8. So if you have your Bible that you can pull up, Romans 8 verses 22 through 28 and then also verses 31 through 32. We're going to start off this first part just looking at verses 22 through 28. So if you would read with me. You don't have to read out loud if you'll just follow along. "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we have hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And as we look in this verses, starting off in verse 22 through 23, we see that the fall of creation brings captivity. As we look back to last week when we talked about Adam and Eve made that choice in the garden to say, I'm going to choose my own will over the will of God. I'm going to choose my own way over God's way, that it brought captivity. Not only to Adam and Eve, not only to me and you today, but over all of creation. It took from what was good that God had made, and it brought that which was bad. All of creation from this point forward is in conflict and opposition with the rest of creation. Look back in the Bible. We don't see death before the fall, do we? Even the animals aren't killing each other. There is no death. Everything was good. I like to think there was no poison ivy. There was no mosquitoes, right? They were messing with us. But when sin entered, it didn't just affect us. It affected all of creation. And it was no longer the same, and it was no longer how God had purposed it. But now impurity and deformity and infirmity had now come into creation. And we became captive to it. And like I said, it doesn't just apply to us. But to think back, there would have been no tornadoes or hurricanes or floods that caused so much pain and hurt. And we wonder, like, why are these things growing? Why do we hear about these huge earthquakes and volcanoes and these crazy natural disasters? And it's because creation is in conflict and opposition ever since sin has entered. The world has fallen from where God had it to be, and now it's in captivity to sin. The good thing is the verses don't end here. But that's where we need to see where we are, that all of creation now begins, instead of being used by mankind as something great, it's now used and abused by mankind. Remember, God gave Adam some jobs, didn't he? He was to be over creation. He was to be a manager, to be taking care of creation. But instead, now we post up shops everywhere where you can smoke God's creation. Right? We began to use and abuse God's creation and use it for things that are not good, but things that are used for sin. And we'll continue to find ways to destroy creation and to be in conflict with it. And when I say creation, that doesn't just mean the plants or just the animals, but that's each other too. And we're constantly in conflict and opposition with one another because of sin. We're captive to sin. And the fall of creation brought about captivity. And one of the things that I think is important now that I'm not just teaching at church, but teaching at school with biology, is I think as believers, we ought to be leading the way in the way that we treat and respect God's creation. We ought to be teaching others about how amazing God's creation is. Because one of my absolute favorite things is to take students for the first time in the middle of nowhere in God's creation and just stand in awe of who He is. And to think, how did this mountain form? How did God put those amazing songs in those birds? Isn't God good? Think about, how did He make those plants out of the same stuff we're made out of so that if we eat them, that we live? Unbelievable. How that He would make trees to let go of the gas that we need, and then we let go of the gas that they need. You think that just happened? Yes, God's a good, amazing God. But God's creation is captive to man's depravity. But guess what? God will deliver His creation. God will deliver His creation. But I had this thought that just really stuck with me this weekend as I was studying this. Think about that. Not a tear has been shed. Not a groan has been uttered. Not a pain has been felt in our body or in our mind that has not come from sin. Think about that. All of the hurt that we experience, all of the pain, all of the deformities, all of our bodies falling apart, all of our lives and our relationships falling apart are all due to sin. Maybe not direct sin. Maybe it's like we didn't do anything directly that would cause that sin. But just because we live in a fallen world that is captive to man's depravity, we hurt and we experience death and we experience pain and our lives are hard and we wonder, God, why would you allow this to happen? When yet we are the ones that chose our will over God's. This weekend, even thinking of this, you know, I spent all this time trying to prepare and get ready for a sermon, and like I said, I'm with the students all weekend long from Friday afternoon till this morning, and you know, just worn out and tired. I'm thinking last night I'm going to go home and study and make sure I'm ready for the morning, and we get back and somebody had broken into our house. And so we ended up till about 1:32, you know, with the officers last night. And I want to think, oh, why would somebody do that? Why would they take something that doesn't belong to them? Why would they destroy things? And then I remember, why wouldn't they? We live in a world of sin. Like, I'm going to get what's mine. I'm going to take whatever I want, and I'm going to get ahead. That's what the world says, right? That's where creation is. So as believers, how do we get out of that? What do we do about that? That's what all of our songs were about today. So what do? We patiently wait. We wait for deliverance. Like I said, guess what? Deliverance is coming. God will deliver His creation. But it's not easy, is it? It's hard and it's long and it's painful and it seems like, I don't know if I can handle it anymore. But we wait as believers for God to deliver His creation. Now, I don't know about any of you. Are you good at waiting? I'm not good at waiting. I'm one of those people, like, if you're late, then you're wasting my time, right? And you're like, uh-oh, Tony's thinking that about me all the time. No, but that's what I'm like. I want to be on time. I never want to be late. I don't like waiting. I'm like 10 minutes before, where are they? They're not here yet. Where are they at? You know, did your mom ever say, just sit down. Just sit down and wait. Or maybe it was your wife. It's always my wife. Last night, I'm waiting on the officer to get there, and I'm just pacing back and forth. She's like, they're coming from a ways away. You can sit down. It'll be a while. And it was a while. But I was at the door every 2 seconds. Is he here yet? Is he here? So when I say wait, I don't mean God saying patiently wait and just go sit on the couch and just someday it's going to come. God doesn't call us just to sit back. This is not a ticket to say you don't have to do anything. Yeah, it's bad, and we know it's bad to just sit back and relax, and eventually it'll get taken care of. What do we do as we wait? I want you to talk with the person next to you. As believers, what do we do as we wait on the deliverance of the Lord? What do? We serve. We love and we share. Because how sad if we found the way to deliverance and we don't ever share it with anyone else. We found truth. We found hope as believers in Christ. So we don't just wait and say, well, one day I'm going to be able to have that hope. But say, I want others to know that same hope that I have. And so we continue to serve in a broken world, and we continue to love on broken people, and we continue to share about how good our God is and how they too can know Him and find deliverance through Christ. We don't just sit back. We don't just wait. And as we wait for creation, we know whether by death or the return of Christ, deliverance will come for all believers. For all believers. Now that's not easy, but I can think of how many times that I've been in a hospital room, and while it's so sad and it's so hard to lose that loved one, everyone in the room knows they've been delivered. The cancer no longer has victory. The pain and the hurt and the struggle and their mind is no longer in a bad place, but they're with Christ and they're whole. And they no longer have to deal with the hurt and the pain, but they're made whole again. So no believer, either whether it's by death or by the return of Christ, you will be made whole again. You will be delivered from the captivity of sin. We're waiting for creation to be made good again. Won't it be amazing to be with Christ? And to have a new creation. And to see it the way that God intended it to be. I think we're going to be blown away. Absolutely blown away at just how amazing God is. And just amazed to just be with God. With no hurt. With no pain. If you're 35 or older, you probably woke up this morning with some type of pain, right? Right? And you're like, and if you're like 35 to 50, you're wondering like, when did I get old? Right? Because you're like, it shouldn't hurt this way. All I did was bend over a couple times to pick up trash, and now my back hurts really bad. Or, you know, I was squatting, hanging out with the kids for a little bit, and now I feel like I can't go up the stairs. Our bodies are falling apart, aren't they? But to know that someday it'll all be made whole again. And that we'll be with Christ. What a great hope. What a great hope. But here's the part that I really want you to see. It is God's will that we, that you are not alone as we wait. You're not alone. You're not going through this hurt. You're not going through this pain. You're not going through all of this all by yourself. I hope that sticks with somebody this morning. You are not alone. It is God's will that you are not alone. That's a promise, isn't it? He's not going to leave you alone. And I love this, that God has a plan. Why would he not leave us alone? Because he knows in a broken, destructive, depraved world that if we're alone, guess what's going to happen? We're going to become overrun, we're going to be overpowered, and we're going to be overcome. And we will give in to temptation, and we will give in to sin, or we will just straight give up. And we'll say, God, I can't do it. It's more than I can handle. But isn't that what I say at salvation? God, this is more than I can ever take. This is beyond me. It's going to require you. God, I'm going to give my life over to you and trust in following you. If he'd have left us alone, there's no way we could handle it on our own. But it's so great that he doesn't. You know what? God gave you a source of strength. God has given you a source of strength. And we're taught in this world, never show weakness, right? We say, oh, you show weakness in business, people are going to run over you. They're going to take advantage of you. You show weakness as parents, oh, good luck, right? And that might be true. But the Bible tells us that we're to show our weakness to God. That we're to come together as believers and we're to share our weaknesses where we need to grow and where we need to be strengthened. And it says, in our weakness, he is made strong. In our weakness is where we see the glory and the strength and the might of who God is. God has given you a source of strength. I love that. He's not Mick and you're Rocky and he's going to take you to Russia and train you to become some amazing thing. He's going to provide the strength. I love that. He's not requiring you to just come up with it or build it up. He is going to give you the strength. So he gives us a voice of truth, a voice of encouragement, a reminder of who God is, as he gives us the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit. And not only does the Spirit help us to know who God is, to be reminded of who God is, but the Holy Spirit speaks on our behalf. Think about, maybe you got a job sometime, and you didn't know how to get that job. You didn't know how to even make the ask. You didn't know how to approach that employment to say, oh, I feel like I'd be a good fit here. I feel like I could work here, but I don't know how to get the job on my own. But then you knew somebody. Anybody ever had that happen? You knew somebody and they spoke up on your behalf? Oh, yeah, you definitely should hire this guy. He's a great worker. He'll do a good job. He's of high character. Yeah, I'm telling you, she's got great people skills. Anybody remember that commercial? But no, she's got great skills. She's good on working on the computer or writing things, or she's good at selling. And somebody stepped up on our behalf and spoke well of us, and that we got that job, right? Not because of anything we did, but because we didn't even know how to ask, but somebody stepped up on our behalf. Remember, we talked about Joseph. And Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And remember why he was there and he was up at the top of command. Then he got knocked down to prison because somebody lied on him. And all he asked of two guys in prison was, hey, if you get out, speak on my behalf. And eventually one of them did, right? And he went from being in prison to having an audience before a king and being able to tell how amazing his God was. And then he was able to save thousands upon thousands of people's lives because he was where God wanted him to be. Sometimes we come before God and we have no clue what to say. We don't know how to ask him. We don't know how he can fix this hurt. We don't know what he can possibly do. And so we just come before him saying, help. And how cool that he gives us a helper that comes before God on our behalf, who's an advocate for us, that speaks on our behalf. And it says not only speaks, but sometimes doesn't even have the words himself and just groans for us before God. That's who God is. That's how good God is. It's his will that the Spirit be speaking on your behalf. That ought to excite you. Now, do you understand how that goes with our songs this morning? God has given us one on our behalf that's going to help break those chains, that's going to deliver us, that's going to take us away from sin. Because it's God's will. It doesn't matter whether you're obeying or not. God says it's his will that the Spirit is speaking on your behalf. Now, God wants you to obey. God so badly wants you to follow him. But not only does the Spirit intercede for us, but the Spirit is so good in many other ways. Think what else it does. The Holy Spirit supports us. It lifts us up, doesn't it? In those times when we need somebody to really say, you can do this. God has prepared you for this. God has put you in the place for this. It supports us. It lets us know that, yeah, we're doing what God's asked us to do. The Spirit teaches us. We don't read God's Word and just get it on our own, do we? No, the Spirit teaches us. And as we read God's words, it begins revealing things to us. And it begins to show us the truth of who Christ is and who God is. As we read it, it teaches us how to pray. The Spirit teaches we don't have to come before God with big words and lots of words, but that we just come before him and pour our heart out before him, whether it be by groans or tears or however we can, to say, God, I need you. He teaches us to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us in sanctification. Remember last week? It is God's will that you be sanctified. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us through the process of sanctification, that helps us to follow God and to become more like him, to be set apart from this world that is trapped in sin. He works and stirs on our hearts. Believer, I hope that you're in a place with God that you can hear the Spirit work. If you're not this morning, you need to be on your face before God seeking him, asking for forgiveness. Because the Spirit is always working in your heart. And the Spirit is always speaking. And I love those moments when you don't really know why, but the Spirit just says, talk to this person. Go give this person a hug. Don't give that person a hug. They don't like being touched. Some of y'all get that right. But the Spirit is so good about giving us those little pushes, right? Of saying, step back from the situation. Stop and look for a minute and see where you are. It's so good about giving us those nudges of how to best follow God. The Spirit comforts us in our pain. Isn't that good? The Spirit comforts us. But not only does it comfort us, the Spirit confronts us in our sin. And as we are tempted and as we are seeking our own pleasures and our own will, the Spirit speaks, doesn't it? So this isn't of God. This is not God's will for you. And what's sad is sometimes we drown out that voice and we follow that path anyways. We have to be listening for the Spirit as it confronts us. I love this, that the Spirit calms and quiets our fears. And as we become fearful, I don't know about you, but there's moments where the world just overwhelms. Have you been there? Where, I mean, it literally feels, starting at your feet, it's just building. You know how when you have something under the sink or under the bathtub and the water is filling up, and it gets to a point where you either have to stop the water or it's eventually just going to pour over and it's going to overwhelm whatever it is you're putting water in? Do you ever feel like that in your soul and in your spirit? That it's just, the world is just too much and it's just filling up and it's overwhelming and you feel like you're getting ready to drown? And the Spirit speaks to our heart and begins to calm us and begins to overcome that fear. It says, trust. Trust me. Put your faith in me. God is greater than this current circumstance. And yes, it's big. And yes, it hurts. And yes, it seems like it may never end. But God is right here with you. And he allows us to take that breath and stop and be reminded of who God is. The Spirit is so good at quieting our fear. It helps us to overcome discouragement as we have the failures, as things don't go the way we want, and our kids don't make the decisions we wanted them to do, and instead of becoming discouraged and down, it begins to encourage us. The Spirit is such a great encourager for reminding us of the future, not just of the current moment, but of the future that God has planned out for your children, that the future that God has planned out for your life and for your marriage and for your home. It's a future for you. But we have to be reminded of that. And it helps us to desire God. Think all the way back to your salvation. Did you desire God? Or did God give you the ability to desire him? Scripture says we didn't go seek God, but that the Spirit is the one that spurred us on to know that we needed God. And so it's not me and my natural self that wants to go desire God, but it's the Spirit who causes me to say, there's more of God, go for it. And it's the Spirit that says, man, fall deeper in love with Christ. And it spurs me on into a deeper walk with God. Isn't it cool? That's who God's given us. Why did he give it, the Spirit, to us? Because it's God's will. That he be speaking on our behalf, that he be our advocate, the Holy Spirit. So I want to remind you this morning that God has not forgotten you, believer. He has not forgotten you. He's not just left you here and say, hey, figure it out on your own. But he is right there with you. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you. God is waiting for you. God is working for your good. You may not always see it. You may not always understand it. But God is always there. And deliverance will come. That deliverance will come. Even though it doesn't make sense at times. And you understand, God, I don't understand how this could possibly be in your will. Or why you would allow this situation. We know that God is still there. And God is still working. And God is still good. His deliverance will come. Let's look on at verses 31 and 32. Because God did all this. God's there with us. God has provided the Spirit. God has given us an advocate. Now, how will you respond? How will you respond to what God has given you? Look at verse 31 and 32. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is so good, but will you continue to complain? God is so good. But will you continue to use the hurt and the pain and the impurities and the deformities as an excuse of why you can't move forward with God? God is so good, but will your focus continue to be on the brokenness and the hurt? Or will you turn and focus on him? Because we can continue to focus on the brokenness and the depravity and the captivity of this world. Or we can focus on God. We can focus on who he's given us, that he's right there beside us, that God has provided for us an advocate. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the chaos, And I was blown away when we were singing the song, "We Anchor to the Rock." As we were singing that, I was just amazed in our lyrics. They said, "We grab to the rock. We anchor our life to the rock." Because the storms are here, aren't they, for some of you in your life right now? And you're saying, "My home, my workplace is chaos. I don't know which way is up, but I know truth. And I know what is solid, and that is Christ, and that is God. And I'm going to hold on to Him." Will you focus on the storms and the chaos, or will your focus be on Christ? Because He's given you an advocate. He loves you so very much, and He will deliver you. This morning, if you're in chaos, if you're in the storm, and you feel like you're drowning, come before God. God wants to rescue you. God wants to have a relationship with you. Believer, this morning, maybe you're at a spot where you're like, "I don't hear the Spirit anymore. I have turned my back on God's will, and I can't feel like I can't hear the Spirit speaking to me anymore. I don't hear those little nudges of how to follow God better." Come before God. Cleanse yourself. Make yourself pure again and renew your relationship with Christ. God wants you so badly to obey and follow Him. He wants to be in relationship with you. Seek Him this morning. So this morning, whether you need to begin a relationship with Christ, you need to renew a relationship with Christ, or you just need to celebrate that you're good with God right now, let's spend some time before the Lord. Will you pray with me?